Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Our Lord said, as he observed the Passover with his disciples, and what a thought to think of our Lord doing this with his disciples. What we now call the Lord's table, he said, "This do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, this wine, you do show the Lord's death till he come." We're here tonight to remember and to worship and to glory in and to give thanks for our Lord's death. Just like he commanded his people to do after he brought them out of bondage. And he said, "You tell your children, when they ask, why are we doing this? We are remembering how the Lord spared us through another, a glorious event that we don't even know how to enter into. An event that we cannot appreciate. We try, we want to. But this flesh is so weak. It's just so weak. But we do say with whatever ability he has given us, thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. So here's our subject tonight. This is the title. Why did Christ die? Why did Christ die? From the scriptures, we're going to see five reasons for the death of our Lord. Look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." According to the Scriptures. Christ died so that the Scripture would be fulfilled. That's why Christ died. He died according to the Scriptures. My dad used to tell me something all the time. When I became a teenager, I started working for a man whenever I was 13 years old. And as I had jobs and everything that I did, he used to tell me this all the time. He said, "A man is only as good as his word." He's only as good as his word. I don't care how skilled you are. I don't care how sincere you are. If you give a man your word and then you don't do it, he won't believe you anymore. He won't trust you anymore, and he's not going to call you anymore. Well, over the span of about 2,000 years, the Lord God gave his word. And his word kept saying, the Messiah is coming. And he's coming to redeem his people. That was the whole message, and that was the whole reason for the Passover back in Exodus. That's the whole reason he had them kill a lamb. It was to show the Messiah's coming. And he's going to redeem his people. God gave his word. Why did Christ die? He died according to his word. He died according to the scriptures, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48, verse 9 says, "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. I will not allow my name to be ruined. I will not allow that." Christ died according to the scriptures. That's the first reason. Let God be true. Let God be true. Every single thing he said will come to pass. That's why Christ died. Here's the second reason. Turn with me over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Christ died to redeem us from our sins. God said the wages of sin is death. It's death. And he said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. None whatsoever. Now here is where I stand. Here's where I stand. If I stand alone before God, here's where I stand. I have sinned. I've sinned. Therefore, the only option for me is death, according to the Word of God. That's the only option for me as I stand alone before God. My only possible outcome, if I stand alone, is for God to cast me into outer darkness, eternal hell, and then say, "Next." That's the only possible outcome for me. Outside of Christ, there's no hope. There's no good news. My only hope before God is that somebody would redeem me from my sins. This is what redeem means. It means set me free. It means pay my price in full and set me free. If this is an item in a store, this item has to stay in the store. I'm not allowed to take this item and just walk out with it. It's against the law. But if I take it up to the counter and if I redeem it, if I pay the price in full, then this item is free to walk right out the front door with me. a man who is in prison, a man who is bound in prison. They finally set him free. Sentence is fulfilled. They're not going to tell him, well, what we've done is we're going to put some rollers on the bottom of your cell, and you can push that cell around. You can go anywhere you want to, but you're going to stay inside your cell. No, that man is free. He is leaving that place. He is leaving that behind. Redemption. Price paid in full. Set free. What can redeem me from my sin? The Word said blood is the only thing that can do it. It's the only thing that can do it. Here's our problem. Here's our problem. See if you can find Micah chapter 6. Go with me to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, look at verse 6. It says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Can I just bring the blood of an animal? That's what they did in the Old Testament. They started sacrificing lambs, and they kept sacrificing lambs, and they kept sacrificing lambs. And do you know why they kept sacrificing lambs? And they kept sacrificing lambs. The reason is because Hebrews 10 says it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Their sins were not gone, so they kept sacrificing and kept sacrificing. There is no hope in the blood of my own works. There is no hope there. Look at the end of verse 7 right here. He says, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Can one sinner die for another sinner? Can one sinner die for another sinner? My dad, I've given this illustration before. This is a good illustration. If my dad committed murder and he was sentenced to die, and I said, I will die for him, I'll take his place and I'll die for him, and they haul me off and kill me instead of him, justice has not been served. It's not been served. And the reason is because he committed murder and he's still a free man. He's still there. The only way that justice would be served is if I could become my father, and my father could become me, and I die as my father. Not only instead of, but as. And Marvin Stoniker truly dies in me. That's the only way. That's the only way. One sinner cannot die for another sinner. When God sees that blood, He'd have to condemn sin. The only thing that will redeem me is the sinless blood of a sinless man. That's the only thing that will redeem me. There is only one that has ever walked the face of this earth totally sinless. This is why we cling to Jesus Christ. This is why we love Jesus Christ. It's because He's the only one who ever walked this earth as a man completely sinless. His blood is the only blood that can pay my debt. It's the only blood. He died that He might redeem us from our sins. That's why Christ died. Here's the third reason. Turn with me over to Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 7 says, "For none of us liveth to himself." No man is alive unto himself. We are grafted into Christ. "And no man dieth to himself." We died in Christ. "For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." Verse 9 says, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and living." That's why Christ died. He died that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, look at verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Christ is the conqueror of life because Christ is life. And Christ died that he might be the conqueror of death too. He is Lord of all. Crown him Lord of all. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. Christ died that he might conquer life and death. Turn with me over to Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, look at verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. The Lord has spoken it. He'll do it. Christ died that he might be crowned Lord of all. And he is Lord of all. In spite of my poor delivery, he is Lord of all. Both the dead and the living. Here's the fourth reason. Go with me to Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Christ died that he might be just and the justifier. Here's what that means. It means he died that he might be right and that he might make right. That's what it means. He died that he might be holy and that he might make holy. That he might be innocent and that he might make innocent. If God kills me for my sin, David said it in Psalm 51, didn't he? If God kills me for my sin, then he is just. He is just in doing so, but he would not be my justifier. If God just forgives my sin, if he just sweeps it under the rug, I've chosen you to just forget about it, then he is neither just nor justifier. The wages of sin is death. That's the only thing that's right. But if this sinless one, if he takes all the guilt off of me, and if he takes all of my sin, and if he takes all of my shame, and if he takes everything that I am off of me, and if he lays it on himself, and if he gives me a clean slate, and if he gives me a brand new record because he took mine and he went away with it. If he dies paying the price of my sins, and if he conquers death, and if he rises from the ground victoriously, then he is now just because he punished sin. And he is also my justifier because he took away my sin. Justified, pardoned, pure. That is why Christ died. That's the reason he died. Here's the fifth reason. Turn with me over to 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ died that he might bring us to God. One of these days, I cannot wait for this flesh to drop and for this Spirit to rejoice with joy unspeakable, for me to see my Lord face to face and realize the reality of what Christ did. Christ died that he might bring me to God. That is the reason Christ died. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Let's turn to one more place. Turn to Ephesians 2 with me. Verse 11 says, "Wherefore, remember." Our Lord said, "This do in remembrance of me. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Had Christ not come, had God not become flesh, dwelt among us, died among us, and rose, there would be no hope for us. We're the uncircumcision. None of the promises apply to us." Verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Christ died to fulfill his own word. Christ died to redeem us from our sins. Christ died that he might be Lord of all, both of the dead and the living. Christ died that he might be just and the justifier. And Christ died that he might bring us to God. That's something worth remembering, isn't it? Something worth remembering. Now, we're about to partake of this table. These elements are just elements. They're just bread and wine. This is for all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their total, only hope of salvation. Nothing added to it, nothing taken from it. Whoever does not completely, totally believe in the Lord Jesus Christ should not take this table. Our Lord said that would be taking it unworthily. And he said that if we do that, we eat and drink damnation to ourselves. But for all who do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a commandment from God. We must partake of this table. There is one body. There is one blood. There is one head. There is one master. There is one union. And it's all in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Brother Chris, you come and read for us.